Today's daf is Vavasu daf Kuf Lamed Gimel. We left off on daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. We've been discussing the issue of a guy who gives matanos to other people other than his wife, and his wife is aware of it. And the question is, does his wife therefore give up the right to have a shibud on those karkaos for the collection of her ksuba? So the Gemara is going to tell a couple of stories. Says the Gemara, we are in the first wide line of Kuf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Hahu damar luhu. A guy says to people, Palgalabras, Vitilsa Liitas Bipiri, that a man has two daughters and he has a wife, he doesn't have any sons. So he says, half of my Nechasim should go to one daughter, the other half should go to the other daughter. But in terms of the peros of those Nechasim, that should be split evenly between my two daughters and my wife. So I want my wife to get one third of the peros related to those Nechasim. Ikla Rav Nachman Lasura, so Rav Nachman went to Sura, Al Gabe Rav Chizda went by him, Amalei Ki Agavnamai, so he said, no, what's the psak in such a case? Does the woman still retain the right to collect her ksuba from all of those nechasim, meaning she knew what the story was, she knew what the deal was, and she was okay with this transaction? Does that mean that she was mocheles on the right to have a shibud on all of the other karkaos, or no? Maybe she still retains that shibud. Amar lei, hachi amar Shmuel, afilu lo hiknala el dekel echad leperosav of the ksubasa. Even if she is only left with one dekel for the peros of that dekel, and she's okay with it, then she loses the ksuba. And over here, he gave her a third of the trees for their peros. So of course she loses the ksuba. Amalei, Emor Damar Shmuel Hasam Dakhne Beguf Da'ara, Hachapira Bialmahu. He says, wait a second. No, when do we say that if he's makna her a single dekel, she loses the right of a shibud on all the other karkaos? That's when he gives her actual karka. He gives her a real dekel. He doesn't give her peros that grow on the dekel. He gives her a shibud in the actual karka. Over here, he's not giving her any karka. He's just giving her peros. He's saying, the karka all belongs to my daughters. That gets split 50-50. It's just the peros that are metaltalin, really, they get divided in three ways. Amrlei, so he said to him, metaltli kamit? Oh, you meant metaltalin? Metaltli vade lo kamina? No, of course, if it's metaltalin, so then it's a non-issue. Of course, if all she received is metaltalin, that doesn't change anything. That if all she received is metaltalin, then certainly she was never mocheles the shibud on the ksuba, the shibud on the other karkos for the ksuba, and that shibud remains. That's story number one. Story number two. Hahuda Amar Lahu, the Rashbam at the end of all these stories is going to sum up exactly what points we derive from our Gemara, what the Peros Hanoshrim are from our Gemara Lahalacha. Hahuda Amar Lahu, Tilta Labras, Utilta Liitas. A guy says, I have an estate, I have two daughters, I have a wife, I want one third of my estate to go to my one daughter, one third to go to the other daughter, and one third to go to my wife. Sounds fair. Shchiva Chada Mi Binte, and then one of his daughters died while the man was still alive. So now that third of the estate goes back to him, because an av is Yoreshes Bito. So he now receives that third of the estate back. So what's the halacha now? What's his wife's status in terms of a shibud on that third of the estate? What's the issue? The issue is as follows. Normally, if a wife receives a piece of karka, while others receive different pieces of karka, and she's okay with it, we assume she's mochelas the shibud on the pieces of karka that she did not receive. However, that's only the karka that he owned at the time that he gave away those matanos. But karka that he's going to acquire later, she was never mochelas. That she still wants to be meshubad, right? That's what you write in the ksuba, the asra ni the mikna, right? The things that I'm going to be kona are also meshubad to the ksuba. So those karkaos that are not yet in his possession, she certainly retains a shiburan. Over here, he didn't go out and buy new karkaos, but he did receive karkaos that weren't originally planned to be his. What happened? His daughter died, and therefore that one-third that he had given that daughter now comes back into his possession. So does she, therefore, get a shibud on that karka as well? Or do we say no? Do we say she was already mocheles that karka when the man gave it to his daughter? Now, granted, he got it back, but she was mocheles that karka already. So what's the halacha in this case? Those are the two tzadim of the suffik. So Sav Rav Papi Lememar, Lo Shakla El Tilsa. Rav Papi wanted to say that all she gets is the one-third that her husband had given her, because the fact that he was Chozer V'Kona doesn't mean anything, because he wasn't Chozer V'Kona Mimakom Acher, he wasn't Chozer V'Kona from some some other place that he didn't have previously. Rather, it was the same nechassim that he had given to the daughter, on which the wife was already mocheles. That's what he got back. Well, she was already mocheles of that, and therefore there's no question that she would the wife is not entitled to a shibud on those other karkaos. Amrle Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, wait a second. Ilu hadar kani milo shakli. Says, wait. If the husband were to go and buy karkaos back, would she not receive a shibud on those karka? V'kim dilu hadar kani shakla hashnami shakla. Meaning, what he basically says is as follows. If he goes and buys nechassim from somebody else, then for sure she has a shibud on it. And let's say he went and bought the nechassim from his daughter herself. He went and paid her money and bought the nechassim back. So she would also have a shibud on it. Why should it be any different? Why does it make a difference that she was mocheles the shibud on that karka? That's because as of the last transaction that was done on it, she was mocheles the shibud. But now a new shibud is created. Anything that comes into the husband's rishus creates a new shibud karkaos. So now she has a new shibud on that karka. It's no different than karka that comes from some other place. And therefore he says, he, the Rav Kahana disagrees with Rav Papi, and he says that certainly the woman has a shibud not only on the one-third that she received, but also on the one-third that the husband now just got back from the daughter who had passed away. Story number three. Hahu depal ginu l'nichsei l'itzei l'banei. A guy was dividing his nechassim to his wife and his children, and he divided it up. Shir chad dikla, and he left out one dekel from the division of the estate. Now the point is, look at the Rashbam in the first medium sized line. Ha'ud palginu kol nechasav chilek lebanav leishto ubitzava as shchiv meira. Meaning, we're talking about a guy who's a shchiv meira. He's on his deathbed. He's saying what he wants. Dahinu asa shutaf ben abanim el shashir dekel echad shelo pirishlmi. So he made a shutaf amongst the children, but he left out one dekel where he didn't say who he wants it to go to. So now what happens? Shir chad dikla. Sav Ravina lemeimar. Ravina, back in the Gemara, Ravina wanted to say lesla el chad dikla, that the wife only has a shibud for whatever extra amount isn't paid to her ksuba based on what she received. She only has a shibud on that one dekel, because had he not left out that dekel, she would lose her ksuba entirely, because she was mocheles the shibud on the other karkaos. So the fact that he leaves one dekel does not mean that she retains a shibud on all of the other karkaos. She was mocheles that shibud on all the other karkaos that went to the children. All she's able to collect from beyond what she has already is that one dekel. Amr le Rav Yemer le Ravina. So Rav Yemer says, Ravina, ilesla chad dikla nami lesla. He says, no, if she doesn't have a shibud, then she shouldn't have a shibud on that one dekel either. Meaning, if she was mechalos the shibud, she's mechalos the shibud on anything. El amigo, rather, the way we should view it is the opposite. Migo de nachta le dikla, nachta nami le kula nichsi. If she retains a shibud on that dekel, which she does, since she retains the shibud on that dekel, she retains a shibud on the entire karka. What are the Tutstadim, what's the issue over here? Why should the dekel be representative of the entire karka? Meaning, after all, she knew that the man was giving away all of these nechassim to his children. Typically, when she's aware of that and she's receiving something, we assume she's mochelas. She says, what I'm receiving is good enough for me, and the rest, I'm going to be mochelas my shibud on everything else. Why is the fact that there's one dekel that's left out indicative of her not being mochelas the shibud on everything else? Who says just because he left one she knows the one dekel is not going to pay her ksuba. So who says leaving one dekel, one tree out, makes it that all that she's not mocheles the shibud on all the other karkaos? So Rashbam explains the tutstadim a little bit by Richa, so we'll just try to pick out lines. So Rashbam says, on the one hand, you would say demali limchol shibuda me'oson shechalek labanim umali minoso dekel shalochilek. On the one hand, you would say, well, why would she be mocheles the shibud on the children and not on the dekel? So on the one hand, you would think if she's mocheles the shibud on the karka that the children receive, for sure she's mochelas the shibud on the dekel. However, the correct way to look at it, the Gemara concludes, is umigo de nachta adekel nachta nami achilek habanim. That since she keeps the dekel, she keeps a shibra on the dekel, she keeps a shibra on the chelek habanim as well. Why? What's the svara? So here it is. The reason she was quiet and she didn't say anything, what's the whole reason we assume a woman is mochelas or shibud when the man gives away his properties? Is because she doesn't say anything. She knows exactly what's going on. She sees these properties being transferred to the children. She's getting something and she leaves it alone. She doesn't say anything. But over here, when there's a dekel left out, the reason she's not saying anything, it's because he's leaving a dekel not earmarked. He's leaving a dekel in the estate. She says to herself, what am I going to go crazy now? I'm going to start screaming about the karka that the children are receiving? Why would I do that? That's not even the next step. Meaning, I would scream about something that's the next step in front of me. But the next step is to first figure out how much the dekel is worth, get paid that, and I'll figure out how much left, what the balance of my ksuba is, and then the step after that is to go tying on the children. So the reason she's shoseik is she thinks that speaking at this point would be ill-timed, that there's no reason to speak at this point, it's a step removed. So we should not interpret her shtika when there is a dekel left out as a mechila. No, she's not being mechelas. Her shtika is simply that she figures it doesn't make sense to say anything now, and that she'll go and she'll scream when after she receives the money, the value of the dekel. You know when a shtika is a mechila? A shtika is a mechila when the guy gave away everything, because then now's the time to scream. There is no dekel that you're going to be collecting from. There is no next step other than to get your shibud back on all these other karkaos. So when he gave away everything, then we assume if she was shoseik, she didn't say a word, then we assume she was macheles, the shibud of everything. Fine, those are the stories we're going to have more stories later, but those are the first three stories that our Gemara has. Now, what are the peros hanoshum? What are the halacha lemaisa, what's the halacha lemaisa that we take out of all of this? So the Rashbam, if you'll notice, about 10 lines before the lines get wide, says v'hashta shaminan at the end of the line. And he goes through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 halachas that derive from these stories. Number one, he says, Hashta Shaminan, from the case of the Shechiv Mirah that writes away all of his nechasim, or his mechalik, his nechasim to his children, and his wife is there, and she does it, and she gets a little bit of karka, and she doesn't say anything. So we see that whenever you give away nechasim in front of the wife, and you don't give her karka kol shehu, and you do give her a little bit of karka, we assume that she's mochel l'shibud on all of the other nechasim that you're giving out. That's number one, that she loses the shibud of her ksuba for all the other nechasim that you're giving out. Number two, hanimili, says Rashbam Vayter, that's only when you're mechalik kol nechasav l'ishto l'yarshav. But if you leave out a little bit, even a dekel echad, a karka kol shuhu, that you don't give to anyone, that you don't specify who you want it to go to, then we assume that she retains her shibud on everything else. Halacha number three, it's only if these halachas only apply if you're giving her a karka kol shehu. But if you give the wife metaltalim kol shehu, then she absolutely is not mocheles on the shibud on the rest of the karkaos. She retains the shibud on the rest of the karkaos. Halacha number four, that which we say that she loses her ksuba from, that she loses the shibud of the ksuba from the part that was given to the children, but that's only if it stays by the children. But if the husband goes and then reacquires karka, whether it be from the children or whether it be from anywhere else, that karka is meshubatu ksuba. She only loses the shibud on the part that's been given to her children. And finally, halacha number five, says the Rashbam at the end of the second wide line, v'dafka shchiv merah k'da amr le'el. This is all only true by shchiv merah. Right, by each of the last three major halachos that the Gemara had mentioned, we asked, is this only true by shchiv merah, or is it true by a bari as well? So this halacha, that the woman is mochelis, the shibud of her ksuba, and all those karkaos, is only by a shchiv merah who's giving away the land, aval bari shechalak nechas of labanav, because of gamla karka kol shu. But if there's a perfectly healthy person who's writing away, giving away all of his nechasim to his children, and he gives his wife karka kol shu, the Gemara asked whether we assume the same halacha is true by a bari, and v'kimna b'teku. the Gemara left it as a teku. And therefore, la halacha, if the Gemara leaves it as a teku, what does that mean for us? V'hilkach, kiven de mesafkalan, amrina motzi mechavero, dahinu isha, ale lahavi raya. We say it's the burden of proof is on the woman to prove that, in fact, she was not mochelas, the shibur on the ksuba. Because whenever you have a teku, we assume that whoever is tofes is the muchzak, and amotzi mechavero lahavi raya. That's the rule by a teku. So that's what the Rashbam says are the 5 points halacha lemaisa that are derived from the sugya. That's a very helpful style of the Rashbam, that at the end of a sugya it tells you know what you get out of it. There's some poskim that write tshuvas like that. Some poskim just write a tshuva and you have to read the whole long thing, and they never really summarize the points at the end. Rav Avadya Yosef and Yechev Adas has at the end of each tshuva bisikum, right? You know, so you can skip to the end sometimes and just see like the bottom line, and then you want to go through all the back and forth, the Shaka Vitaria, you go back and read through the whole thing. So the Rishpam over here gives us, I think the Deborah Tziner also does that in his Tshuvas. A lot of people did. But you see, that's a very helpful tool that the Rishpam gives us. These are five rules that you get at the end of the day from this Gemara. It's always good when learning Gemara to do that, to stop and say, okay, what did we get out of this? Fine. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amrav Huna, Shchiv Mirah Shekasov Kal Nechasov La'acher. A Shchiv Mirah goes, and he writes over all of his Nechasim to somebody else. So what does it mean, Shekasov Kal Nechasov La'acher? Says Rashbam, Stam, V'lo Pirish Lo Lashon Matana V'lo Lashon Yerusha, L'Stam Nechasai L'Ploni. He never says whether it's a Matana, Yerusha, anything. We don't know what he means by it. He just says, my Nechasim go to so-and-so. He doesn't say Yerusha or Matana. So, what's the halacha? Shchiv Mirah Shekasov Kal Nechasov La'acher. Rowin im ra'i liyarsho nolta mishum yerusha. If the person that he's writing over his nechasim to is someone who's ra'i to yarshin him, he's a relative who's in line to yarshin him, so then good, the guy will receive it as yerusha. Vim lav nolta mishum matana. If he's not ra'i liyarsho, then we assume he means it as a matana. Says Rashbam, vim lav de'ino ra'i lirish bal karchach nichsai nesun leploni ka'amar. He must mean nesunin laploni. He must mean that it's a lashon matana that it's being given, because we assume he's not just wasting his breath, he's not just talking for no reason, so he must mean something, and l'matani chavin v'lo l'yerusha, so he means to give it as a matana, not for Yerusha. U'l'kach nota mishum matana, and therefore the recipient gets it as a matana. Now, this is an important issue. What difference does it make if he's getting it as a Yoresh or getting it as a Makabal Matana? La halacha, aren't they the same? Halacha, however you receive it, you receive it. Well, who cares whether you're receiving it as a Yoresh or as a Makabal Matana? So we'll deal with that soon in the Gemara. But first, the Gemara says, wait a second, what did you just say? That if someone writes all of his nechasim to somebody else, if he's a yoresh, that's okay. A man has five children. He writes over all of his nechasim to one of his children. So we assume that child's going to yarsh and everything, and the other children are going to be left out in the cold. Right? That's what you just said. But if it's not to one of his children, so we assume it's a matana to that other person, which he's certainly entitled to give matanos to whoever he wants. But that first halacha, which is the chiddush, that you can give it to one child over the other, that we learned. That was like the basis of everything we've done for the past many blood already. Amar Rav Nachman, Ganva Gunovi Lamalach, why are you ganving everyone else's Torah? Yisvir lach Rabbi Yochum and Broka, that's the famous statement of Rabbi Yochum and Broka. If you hold that Rabbi Yochum and Broka, Ema halacha Rabbi Yochum and Broka. Just say that halacha zek Rabbi Yochum and Broka. You don't have to pretend that you made this up. Say that halacha zek Rabbi Yochum and Broka. Tashmaitzek Rabbi Yochum and Broka. Ta'azla, all you're saying is you're regurgitating exactly what Rabbi Yochum and Broka taught us. So why would you ganve his Torah? Dilma kiyaka amrit. Ah, maybe you mean this. He has to be down the kavshlus. So he says maybe what you really meant to be mechadesh is not that halacha zek Rabbi Yochum ben Broka, although you are saying that halacha zek Rabbi Yochum ben Broka, but that's not your main point. Maybe your main point is actually something else. A man was about to die, and they said to him, who do you want your stuff to go to? Who do you want your possessions to go to? Dilma Laplanya? Do you want them to go to so-and-so? V'amr lahu, and he responded, a very Jewish response, Elul Laman, who else? Right. Who else should they go to? So he didn't say yes, he didn't say no, he just said, who else should they go to? Rashbam says, Kolomer, man kashakal nichsei Elohu, is there anyone else that should get my nechasim besides for him? V'avi kaman da'amalei nechasei lach, V'hainu shekasav deka amrit demali kasav mali amar. This is assuming that he writes it down. V'amrit alon back in the Gemara. V'amrit alon Allah imroi liyosho notu mishum Yerusha. So now your chiddush, what we thought you said was that if the guy is roi to yarshin him, so he'll receive it as Yerusha. V'imlav notu mishum matana, and otherwise he'll receive it as a matana, meaning. The point is over here that you're not trying to tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rather, there was a story where that was bestam, as the Gemara just explains, where you wanted to tell us a chiluk between netilu mishum matana and netilu mishum yerusha. I mean, your main point was to tell me that there is a chiluk between receiving something as yerusha and receiving something as matana. It happens to be from the way you expressed that. Through the shaila that came to you, it's obvious that you hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, which is fine. You're allowed to hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, but that wasn't your main point. Your main point was to distinguish between Tila Mishum Matana and Tila Mishum Yerusha, which and he says, "Amalei in hachikamin." He says, "Yes, that's exactly what I meant. That's exactly what I wanted to teach." So now that obviously begs the question: Lamai Hilchasa? What's the difference between Tila Mishum Matana and Tila Mishum Yerusha? The person's receiving it; it's money. What difference does it make? How? You know, what the reason he's receiving it for? So, Sav Rav Ad Barava Kamei De Rava LeMeimar. Rav Ad Barava wanted to say in front of Rava, Imroi Li Yarsho Almanasu Nizonos Minachasav VeImlav Ein Almanasu Nizonos Minachasav. If it's Mishum Yerusha, the Almana gets Mizonos from those Nechasim, because the Yarshim have to continue to support the Almana until her Ksuba is paid off. So she's going to be able to continue to receive support if it was received Mishum Yerusha. But if it was just a matana, a man gave matanos to people throughout his lifetime, so the almana doesn't have the right to go to those people and say, you have to support me, right? That's only from the estate. It's not part of the estate if he gave matanos while he was still alive. So she doesn't have the right to collect the mizonos. Frek the Gemara says Rava back, Amrle Rava, Migrogara. Should it be any worse when it was Mishum Matana? The Almana should have a worse situation when it's Mishum Matana than she should when it's Mishum Yerusha. Yerusha, which is a transference of the property midal raisa, it works midal raisa. The yarshim are the owners midal raisa, and you're going to say that they still have a responsibility to support the almana. B'matana drabanan lo kol shekein, where a matana which only works midrabanan, of course the mekabel matana is going to have a responsibility to support the almana. Who says the matana only works midraban? Matanos work midaraisa. No, you give him matana, that's a real kinyan midaraisa. Who says that it's only midrabanan? So that's what the Rashbam points out. Very important. Matana drabanan ki hachman ashchiv meira she'in ba kinyan. The case was it was a matan ashchiv meira. He never did a formal act of kinyan. It was just it was only done by amira b'vad. It was just speaking. It was a conversation. El midraban could preach this lo kolshkin in his own mehen. Right, it was purely a kinyan midrabanan. Because it was only through Amira. They said to him, do you want this guy to get your property? He said, yeah, let that guy get my property. That's not a Kenyan. It only works for Shchiv Meira, Midraban, because we're afraid, Shema Titrav Taito. We're afraid that if we don't do what he wants, then it's going to upset him and he's going to die more quickly. And we value every minute of life. Mm-hmm. Every moment of life is something that's of great value to us. Uliolam lav lahachi nafkamina chilek shashmianu rafuna beinotel mishum Yerusha beinotel mishum Matana. And really, the main chilek is not to tell us the difference between notel mishum Yerusha and notel mishum Matana. Umehacha shamina daha de kaimelan de mazuni isha vaabanos lo tafrim imshabdi. And from here we see, says Rashbam, that which we say that the support of the wife and the daughters cannot be collected from nechasim shubadim hanimili matana gemura bekinyan o mechru gomer. That's only if it was given away with a real matana, with a legitimate kinyan or a real valid sale. Avol matna shchiv mira al menasa mizonis minichse mekabel matana vuadin lebanos. But anything that was given away is a matna shchiv mira, the almana and the banos would be allowed to be supported from that matana. Ella Amar Rava, so Rava said rather differently. To the Shalach Ravacha bar Rav Avi Ledivrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, like Ravacha bar Avi said that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Nechase Lach V'Acherecha Leploni. What if a person doesn't just say who he wants his money to go to after he dies? He makes a whole series of people that he wants it to go to. I first wanted to go to this guy. Once that guy dies, instead of going to his children, I wanted to go to another guy. And once that guy, right, he makes a whole series of who he wants it to go to. Nechase lach v'acherecha l'ploni. Instead of acherecha going to your yarshim, let it go to ploni. Im ha'yarishon ro'i l'yarsho, ein l'sheni b'makom rishon klum. If the first guy was someone who was ro'i l'yarsho, So then it goes to that person, but then it follows the standard laws of Yerusha. Once that first guy dies, it does not go to some second guy that was identified by the original owner of the Nechasim. She'ein zeh Lashon Matana el Lashon Yerusha, because that's not a Lashon Matana, it's a Lashon Yerusha. Yerusha in Lehefsik. Amle Rav Lerav Nachman vay Ifsika hu savri yesh Lehefsik, Rachmana Amar ein Lehefsik. Aye, but he was mafsik it. The guy who said it was trying to be mafsik. He said it goes to Reuven, and when Reuven dies, it doesn't go to his Yarshim. I'm being mafsik the line of Yerusha. Yeah, it's nice. He can say that all he wants, but he thought that that works. But the Torah says it doesn't work. The Torah says that there are laws of Yerusha, and the laws of Yerusha kick in automatically. And therefore, by saying that, he was masa masha kasa b'Torah. So the maisa that he did of giving it to Reuven is a maisa. The maisa is kayim. The tenai of then having it pass on to someone else is batel, and that's that's the halacha. Now, says the Gemara, Hudam Lechavre. Now let's see how this was put into practice. There was a guy who said to his friend, Nechase lach v'acharech leploni, you, Reuven, get my Nechasim. After you're gone, I want them to go to Shimon. V'rishon roi liyarsho, Reuven happened to be one of the Yarshim. Have a shach of Rishon, asa sheni katava. Then Reuven dies, and Shimon comes and says, okay, my turn. You remember the original owner said that it's supposed to be mine. Savar Avilish kamed rava lemeimar, sheni nami shakal. So Avilish wanted to say, okay, he's right. Shimon should get it, because after all, the original owner said Shimon gets it after Reuven dies. Amalei dayane dechatsatzta hachidaini. He says, you know what kind of dayanim give such a din Torah? Dayane dechatsatzta. What are dayane dechatsatzta? Rosh Hashanah is two pshatim. Number one, dayane pshara. There are dayanim, when a dayan is not such a mumcha, he doesn't really know what the din always is, so the easiest thing to do is come up with some sort of pshara. It just has to be someone who's more of him abrios, he knows how to talk to people, he knows how to make shalom, and he talks to them and figures out some sort of pshara. But it's not because he knows anything. And he says, yeah, people would be down like that if they really don't know much. So that's a really great idea. You're going to go and give a din Torah that has no basis in anything lahalacha. So it was clearly a criticism. The second pshat Rashbam has is Chatzatzta is a beis hakvaros. The dayanim that are 6 feet under, they're done like that. Meaning you're incompetent. It's like you have your brain's not functioning anymore. So either way, it was not a compliment. So lav hainu d'sholach Ravacha bar Ravavia. He says, don't you remember Ravacha bar Ravavia? That whole conversation, Ravacha bar Ravavia and Rava, about exactly this case. That if a guy gives, if a guy tries to determine that his nechasim go to one yorish, and then after that yorish dies, he's going to go to Shimon, that Shimon has no taina, that it just follows the standard normal rules of Yerusha after that. So ichsif. So he got very embarrassed, right? Because here he was. Rav Elish was embarrassed. He was about to pass in the wrong halacha. He knew he got it wrong. It wasn't that he was going to continue to argue. So he was very embarrassed. Says Rashbam, why was he embarrassed? Not so much that he got this one wrong, but ichsif Rav Elish me Rava pen yomar Rava belibo ilu lo hayisi bikan hayadun din sheker v'kin kultim shudan shalabavanei. Rava must have been thinking, this guy is totally incompetent. How could I trust anything? It's a good thing I was here. Because if I wasn't here, he would have given the a flat out wrong din. Probably every din he does give when I'm not here is flat out wrong, and therefore we can't trust anything that comes from this guy's beis din. He has no right to be serving as a nice guy, but no right to be serving as a dayan. Right? That's sometimes you have people like that. People are very nice guys, but no right to be serving in whatever capacity, whether it be in kashrus or dayanus, whatever it is. So Rava's probably thinking that about me, Rav Elish thinks. So Kari Alei, Rava sees that Rav Elish is embarrassed. He says, Ani Hashem bi'ita achishena. He says, you know, like we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the geula just at the right time before, just in the nick of time before we sink to the depths. So he says, bi'ita achishena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you experience tremendous siyata d'shmaya, he says to Rav Elish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously watches after his tzaddikim. You're a tzaddik. He doesn't want you to get the din wrong. This time it was me that caught you. If you ever get it wrong some other time, it's going to be someone else that catches it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sashkach pratz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that you don't get anything wrong. So don't worry. I don't think anything badly about you. He was probably only embarrassed because he spoke in such strong lashonos against what he said the first time. But he said, don't worry, I don't think my comment about Dayane de Chatzatzta was not that you in general are a bad Dayan. It's that this din would have been a wrong din. That's what it was really about. Okay, says the Mishnah. Hakosev is nechasav l'acherim. A guy writes over all of his nechasim to other people. V'niach es banav, and he doesn't give anything to his children. He doesn't leave anything for his children. Masha asa asoi, so that's fine. He's allowed to give matanos to whoever he wants before he dies, and if he gives away his entire estate before he dies, it's fine. Ela ein racham nochem, but the rabbis are really not particularly pleased with him. Frektach Sam Sofer. Didn't we just have discussions like this? That if you're Kosev Kol Nechasov Le'ishto and there are Banim there, so what do we assume? That the wife is an apotropos. We just had this yesterday, right? That the wife becomes an apotropos, but not that she's the real owner. Why don't we say the same thing over here? He's Kosev Kol Nechasov L'Acherim. So just assume that that the guy that he's writing it to is an apotropos. So first off, I would have been mitaret. It doesn't say Kosev Kol Nechasov L'Acher. It doesn't say he's giving it all to one person. He just divides it up to this charity, this guy, that guy. He's giving a, he's being very generous in the weeks before his death, and he's giving it to everybody. So that's clearly not an apotropos. An apotropos is when you indicate a person to be in charge. Even if you say a palasha matana, then you might mean an apotropos. The Chasam Sofer adds, the Chasam Sofer says instead that no, when you give to a ben ben abanim or to a family member who you clearly are interested in providing them with kavod, so then you assume it's an apotropos. You want them in charge of the estate so that other people will give them kavod. But over here, you're giving it to some stranger. You're giving it to some third party. So that's not about showing kavod. So that ein ruach ham nochem, that the Chacham are not happy about. Ein ruach ham nochem menu. The idea that ein ruach ham nochem menu, Birei Adafuv here quotes from Tshuvas Divrei Rivos. This idea that ein ruach ham nochem menu is enough to make it a chov for a person. Meaning, whenever we're figuring out zachl nadam shalav b'fanav ein chavan nadam shalav b'fanav. Ein ruach ham nochem menu is enough to say that that would be chavan la'adam, that that would be a chov for a person, because after all, a person not only wants to do the halacha, he wants the ruach chacham to be nochem menu as well. Rav Shimon Gamliel lo mervaiter in the Mishnah, im lo hayubanav nogim kshura zachul atov. If his kids are bad, so then he should be remembered for good. Then it's a good idea to perhaps give away l'nechasim to somebody else. You can write the bad kids out of the Yerusha, essentially. Right? You can give away all your possessions before you die if the kids don't deserve it. So the question is, do the Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel agree with each other? Ibailu, mi pligi Rabbanan leid Rav Shimon Gamliel? Alo. Do the Rabbanan argue on Rav Shimon Gamliel? Means the Rabbanan say that even when the kids are bad, it's ein racham nochem menu to give it away? Or did the Rabbanan agree with Rav Shimon Gamliel that they're only saying under normal circumstances, don't cut your children out of the will? But if the children deserve to be cut out of the will, then ein hachinami, they'll say that it's okay to cut the children out of the will. The Nitziv in Merome Sada says that this is not an informational question. We're not asking a two-sided informational question. That is it this way or is it that way? Do they disagree or do they agree? No, it's really a one-sided question, the Tziv says. And the Tziv says that if the Chachamim don't argue on Rav Shimon Gamliel, then we understand very well that would make sense, the Gemara is saying, if everyone agrees, because then it would make sense why they dafka chose a case la'acherim, of saying that you gave it to somebody else, and they didn't speak about being maver nachla from one child to another child, because they wanted to let us know that if your children are being bad, even if you give it la'acherim, your zachor latov, it's an extra chiddush, that when some children are not behaving, even when you give it to acherim, to some third party, that's still zachor latov. However, if the Rabbanan argue on Rav Shimon Gamliel, then it's difficult. Why would they choose a case of Acherim? Because even if you're Mavir Nachlam Ben Leben, L'chora they would hold in Ruacham Nochei Menu. Why would they dafka choose a case of Acherim? So the Nitziv understands this Shaila as not really being a two-sided Shaila, it's a one-sided Shaila. We're saying, Mi pligi Rabbanan leid Rav Shimon Gamliel lo, meaning that it's most logical that lo. And if we're able to show that they do argue on Rav Shimon Gamliel, then we're going to have a problem of why they chose Acherim. So anyway, so says Gemara, let's try to bring a riot. Tashema, di Yosef ben Yoezer, hayulo ben shlo yino kshura. Sometimes he had great people who had children that didn't behave properly. Yosef ben Yoezer had a son that was not noe kshura. Havale Elisa Didinri Kam Akdisha. So he had an Elisa Didinri. Tosel says this does not mean an aliyah, an attic full of gold coins, because that would be if it did mean an attic full of gold coins, that would be a guzma. And it doesn't sound from the hemshech of the story that we're speaking in guzma. Meaning, sometimes the Gemara very often is chazal or dibur b'losh and guzma all the time, right? They talk about this one wrote 400 sifrei Torah and this one. Right? A lot of these things are guzma. The chazal tell us some of them are guzma, right? So over here, Tosu says if it were to mean an aliyah, then it would be a guzma. But it therefore can't mean an aliyah. What an elisa is a bag. He had a bag full of gold coins. It means he had a lot of money. So what happened? He was makdishit. Azul nasav bas gadil kalili the yane malka. Then his son went and married the girl whose job it was to make the crowns of Yanei HaMelech. Right? He was the crown maker of Yanei HaMelech. That was her job. alidat betu, that woman had a baby, zavin labinisa. So he went and he bought a fish, kara ashkach ba margalisa, and he ripped open the fish and he found a gem. He found a pearl. A lot of stories in Chazal like that of fish eating precious gems. I don't know. We should eat more fish. So Amrlei, so she said to him, okay, you got this precious gem, here's what you do with it. Here's what you don't do with it, and here's what you do with it. Lo timti lamalka d'shakli laminach b'dmei kalili. Definitely don't bring it to the king and his treasurers and try to figure out, you don't know how much this gem is worth, you have no idea. Don't bring it to the king and say, oh, how much is this worth, how much would you pay me for it? Because they're gonna rob you blind. They'll give you, they know that you don't know anything. It's like, you know, some experts who know that the people don't know anything, auto mechanics or roofers or whatever, they know you don't know what you're talking about, so they'll say whatever they'll say, and you'll say, okay, so don't go to them, because they're going to rob you blind. Zil amti lagabi gizbri, velo tishai mi'at, damrisu l'gavo, kumirisurasa lehediot, el shaimua inhu. Says, here's what you do, go to the Gizbar of Hegdish, because this is one of the stones that's needed for the Chosha Mishpat. So go to the Gizbar of Hegdish. He's an honest guy. He's not going to cheat you. But don't say to him, will you give me $10,000 for this? Don't mention a price. As soon as you mention a price, you're going to be locked into that price. Because I'm Yirasul Gvok and Yirasul Lehediot. Wait till he offers you something. Basically, she's teaching him general business tactics. You know, don't show your hand too early. Let him give the assessment, and he's going to be good at it. Amtia Shamua B'Tleisri Liyasa Didinri. So he did that. He went to the Gizbar. The Gizbar says, wow, this is worth 13 bags of gold coins. Meaning the father didn't want to leave the kid with one bag of gold coins. The Gizbar says to him, this is, and the father gave that one bag of gold coins to Agdish. The Gizbar says to the kid, this is worth 13 bags of gold coins. Amalei Sheva Ika Shisleka. And the Gizbar says, the only problem is, our treasury funds don't have enough money to cover 13 bags of gold coins. That's what it's honestly worth. We only have 7 bags of gold coins. The other 6 we don't have. Amalu Sheva Havili Shisarei Mukdash Shemaim. Says, look, 7 bags of gold coins is more money than I ever could have imagined having in my life. So you know what? I'll take the 7, and the other 6, I'm being Makdash L'Shemayim. Let that be my gift to Hegdish, the other 6 bags of gold coins that you would have owed me. So they wrote down in the ledger of Hegdish that Yosef ben Yoezer gave 1 bag of gold coins to Hegdish, and they dafka juxtaposed it with the fact that his son gave 6 bags of gold to Hegdish. And the Yikad Amri says that the way they wrote it is that Yosef ben Yoezer gave 1 bag of gold coins to the Hegdish, and his son took 7 from Hegdish, because he went and he took the 7 to pay for that gem. So where you put the emphasis, was this viewed as a righteous deed by his child, or is this viewed as a bad deed? So mitka amri hichnis machal d'shaper avid. So the Gemara tries to bring a riot from the fact that it says hichnis, that implies that he did good. If he did good, that implies that Yossi ben Yoezer, by writing him out of the Yerusha, did a good thing. Because b'zuchus that he wrote him out of the Yerusha, the kid had to buy a fish, and he bought the whole misgalgal adavar, and he was able to do this great mitzvah. So it was chasr l'mutav, the fact that the father did this, wrote him out. So it sounds like it's a good thing. Says Gemara, Adarabim, mitkamer hotzi mekal d'lav shaber avid. No, but that's only if you hold like the first daya. If you say like the second daya, then that's the implication is that he did a bad thing. El mehalak l'mashamina. So this story is conclusively inconclusive, right? We can't show anything from this story. In the Tshuva Zera Emes, he points out the Gemara in Ksubis has a famous story of Mar Ukva, that Mar Ukva, before he died, when he said, let me check over my tzedakah accounts. I think Samach Zayinim Beis around there in Ksubis, tzedakah sugyas. So he said, let me check out my tzedakah accounts. And they looked at his tzedakah accounts. He says, Ayveh, the derech is long, and I have little to take with me. You know what? Let me give more away. And he was mechalek kol nechasav l'tzedakah. He gave away everything to tzedakah. So frek the Gemara, I am a vazviz al yivazviz yosem michamesh. Aren't you not allowed to do that? Give away more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. And the Gemara says, yeah, but he was dying, so he's allowed to do that. So he said that what about the fact that he was writing all of his children out of the Yerusha? So he explains that tzedakah mar ukva, who is a tremendous Ashi. He wasn't called a Chazav, it was Chatzi Nechazav. So this is Mar Ukva, was very wealthy. So since he was very wealthy, his children were going to be wealthy anyway. I mean, if Bill Gates were to die and decide to give 95% of his money to charity upon his death, and the other 5%, I think he did actually, I think that's been in the news, that the other 5% he leaves for his children, just a tiny percentage of his wealth. But that tiny percentage is, you know, they'll be okay. They'll probably be able to eat based on the tiny percentage he leaves them. That's okay. The problem is leaving your children as aniyim, because you have a chiyuv hayachid to make sure that your children are cared for, and it's a chavas hatzibur to make sure aniyim in general are cared for. So the stam just give it to aniyim and take care of the chavas hatzibur before you take care of your chavas hayachid. That's not okay. That's not beseder. So my havila, what happened at the end of the day? What's the psak halach over here? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? What do we hold? Are they arguing? Are they agreeing in terms of if your children are bad to write them out of the Yerusha? Tashma Adarma Le Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shinna Lo Tavi Be Avurei Achsanta Vafil Mi Brabisha Le Bratava. You should have no part in people who are Mavir Nachla, even from a bad son to a good son. The Kolshke Mi Bralabarta, and certainly from a son to a daughter. Meaning, Yerusha should stay where it stays. Shouldn't be moved around so easily. Okay, we'll have to stop there. I'm not giving the daf tomorrow, obviously. I'm not going to be here for Shabbos, so we will pick up on Sunday from whatever is a logical place to pick up from. Okay.